Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
And good Saturday morning to you, and good luck to all those of you who are going to be dealing with some very adverse weather conditions, whether you're going to be trying to catch a few fish or you're going after the beady-eyed bird, as I call the wild turkey. It's opening day in Louisiana. Last week was the youth zone, but the big guys and old guys can get after them today, but boy, the weather's going to be working against you. But there will be some turkeys killed over this weekend, I promise you. I won't be one of the lucky hunters because I'm not going. I'm going to be gone during the middle of next week when the conditions are going to be much, much better. Well, if you were in a panic like a lot of deer hunters were this week when the news report started saying that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries was going to shut down supplemental feeding and baiting and distribution of corn for deer hunters, well, rest at ease. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission did not take that action, but they did take some action with regard to CWD, the chronic wasting disease, been detected in Louisiana, and I'll run down what the declaration of emergency that was passed Thursday will be. All right, we also have something else to talk about very nice, a coastal cooking series that has been produced by public broadcast channel WYES Channel 12 out of New Orleans, coming to a national PBS station near you. And I participated in the filming of one of those 12 episodes, and they kick off today. We'll give you a little bit of a sneak preview of what you might see if you're going to be tuned in for that. And, of course, if always, if you had a successful fishing or hunting trip this week, we'd like to include it along with your comments or your questions. We'll add it to the reports of our professional captains and our marina operators. You can do that by texting your message real-time into the studio, 504-260-1870, 504-260-1870. Coastal marine forecast, not a pretty sight. You know, you get up on a Saturday morning ready to talk about some fishing, and there's not going to be much fishing to talk about today, but possibly what went on much earlier in the week, or possibly what to look forward to next week, because today, offshore in the Gulf of America, you're looking at southeast winds at about 20 knots, 5 to 7 foot seas. A small craft advisory is in effect on the interior lakes and bays today. Not much better at all. South winds 20 to 25 knots and rough conditions. For tomorrow, not any better. Southwest winds 20 to 25 knots offshore, 5 to 7 feet. And on the interior lakes and bays, the wind direction will shift a little bit as we got a front approaching. It'll go more to southwest and west. And lighten up just a little bit, 10 to 20. with a light chop, but there's going to be lots of dirty water around and something the fishermen are going to have to deal with. We do it every year during this time. It's the springtime, and that's what we get. All right, average tide, which you could probably throw out the window because with all this south and southeast powerful winds, it's going to drive water up on the coast. 1.4 is the tide range, which wouldn't be bad if it wasn't for all the wind that's going to be out there. For the Mississippi River, 7.2, considerably low for this time of the year, but it's holding steady. Rain chances, I'm looking at the radar. I can't find any raindrops anywhere from Florida to Texas along the Gulf Coast now, but that probably is going to change. There's a 20% chance for later on today and a 90% chance for you Sunday turkey hunters and fishermen. So that's what the picture looks like. We're going to be getting fishing reports from Robbie Campo. We'll talk about his other turkey. He went to Texas, got one, went to Florida. He goes east and west and all over to bag those turkeys. We're also going to hear from Captain Kirk Stansel out at Hackberry Rod and Gun, Darryl Carpenter's in Grand Isle, Mike Gallo, a guy born on the bayou, we call him. Brendan Bayard's got a paddler's report, and Ryan Lambert will wrap it up from Cajun Fishing Adventures down the river in Plaquemines Parish. So stay tuned. We've got a full 2 hours if you'd like to participate. Text me, 504-260-1870 on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And let's talk to Robbie Campo down at Campo's Marina where they got those fine shrimp all lined up. Robbie, boy, when you get up on a day like today, you know, you're not going to see many people at the marina, but you got to go, you know?
Well, you know, Don, you get down here, it's blowing out the southeast from 12 to 20 miles an hour down here this morning. You know, yesterday we saw a gust up to 40 miles an hour during the day yesterday. It's just been a windy week here. You know, it's not what you want for a Saturday morning, I'll promise you. But with that said, you know, the guys that fished this past week didn't do all that bad. I was surprised, to be honest with you. Most of them went down south, going towards what do you call Grand Point Bay and Bay Lafourche, and you know, running that Delaco side, trying to get in some protected waters back there. But you know, from anywhere from the Twin Pipeline, Lake John, going down towards the river. They did okay. I mean, they caught plenty of redfish, a lot of throwbacks. You know, these redfish are, now that they've changed this limit to 18 inches, you know, all these redfish they're catching are, you know, 16 and a half, 16 and three quarters, 17, 17 and a quarter. You know, Don, that fish won't be ready and probably until, maybe the first of it, or mid of June, I guess you'd say, before those fish would be catchable and keep, you know, be able to keep them. So, you know, it's frustrating when you go out there and you catch 100 in a day, and these guys have been catching that many. It's just what you could put in a boat is a different story.
Yep. Well, you know, that's going to be the key. If anybody does go out today, you're going to have to try to find some kind of clean water and get tucked away up in that marsh, and more likely to encounter redfish than you would be on the speckled trout. But, you know, it's going to end, and, you know, probably midweek next week we're looking for some lower temperatures to come back in here too. But turkey hunters are going to have a tough time too. This is some horrible conditions for hunting turkeys. You were successful again when you went to your trip in Texas. Tell us about that. I assume that was a Rio you shot.
Yes, it was. I killed that bird last Saturday, opening morning. Don, I don't generally like to sit and deer hunt turkeys, but you know, in Texas is a whole different area, man. It's you know, it's a place. You know, in the part of Texas that I was in, everything in Texas, you gotta take a turkey chair with you when you go to, you know, West Texas. The stickers have stickers on them in Texas. It's everything will stick you, and sitting on the ground is just not an option there. You know, sitting on a pad or, you know, or whatever on a turkey vest is just not an option. You just about have to have a turkey chair. And I tell you, Don, I don't get out the truck without it in my hand. It's, you know, I got so used to sitting in that chair. It's, you know, It's a game changer, because if you have to sit for any amount of time, that chair makes all the difference in the world. I'm not as young as I used to be. I tell you what, I sure like the comforts of things. That chair sure makes it nice.
Well, I got one of those chairs, and, you know, they're almost like a little mini beach chair. They're very comfortable once you get in there. It takes the pressure off your back. You don't have to find a tree to lean up against. Keeps you a little bit higher in there. The only drawback is you got to carry the thing with you, you know, and it can be heavy when you got everything else, the shotgun and the calls and the decoys and everything else you need.
Well, you know, it's an extra added, you know, 2 to 3 pounds to you. But you know what, Don, I won't go without it. I just won't do it. It's, you know, I hunt in Florida with it. I hunt Texas, you know, wherever I go, Midwest, I bring that chair with me. It's a game changer for if you have to sit there and, you know, for any amount of time, because you know, like I said, everything in that West Texas, it, you know, it's got a sticker on it. So, you know, the ajarita bushes, the mesquite bushes, everything's got stickers on it. So, you know, you gotta kind of make yourself where it's comfortable to hunt. So that's why I use that. I use a turkey chair made by Brownin. And I tell you, I've tried several different kinds, and this is probably one of the comfortable ones that I've ever sat in. But it makes turkey hunting, it's a game changer for turkey hunting if you have to sit there any amount of time. And it paid off last Saturday because I didn't get that bird till 10 o'clock in the morning. So he's 24 pounds, 1¼ inch spurs, and a 10-inch beard. I mean, he had a paintbrush of a beard. So I'll definitely go back.
Yeah, that's the same chair I've got, the Browning, and it's got the little compartments where you can stick a phone or some calls and stuff in there. And, I mean, I can sit in that thing all day and not get uncomfortable. I'm also been hunting out of some turkey pop-up blinds, but, I mean, that's you just put those up in places where, you know, turkeys have historically showed up because it's not portable at all. I mean, you can't move with it. When you're there, you're basically deer hunting. You know, you're pretty much stuck there, and you got to try to call them into you. But congratulations, Robbie, man. You're on a roll with the turkeys, man. That's a really fine bird, 24 pounds and a 10-inch beard and, you know, big spurs on it. That's a nice big boss bird.
Yeah, it, you know, thank you, Don. But it was, I tell you, it was a hard hunt. It's not, West Texas is something that, you know, it's very open, you know.
Yep.
So it's not more, because I'm a running gunner kind of hunter, you know, so I'm but you know, this time here, I knew better than to go running and gunning. It was sit and wait, and it paid off. And I tell you, it's different than anything that you've ever done. It's, you know, you're not in pine trees because there's none there.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally different than what we know of hunting in Mississippi or, you know, anywhere up, you know, in this region here. It's totally different, but yeah, it was definitely fun. And I'll definitely go back. Yeah.
Well, I've hunted out there where you're talking about, and one of the things I found to an advantage was the lack of trees. There's just not that many good roost trees, so it kind of confines on where the turkeys are going to be set up to be gobbling early in the morning, and you can locate them. By the way, did you get to use the wing bone call?
You know, I brought it with me, and But these turkeys weren't gobbling, Don. So I had it with me. I had it around my neck because he puts a leather strap on it, and I had it hanging around my neck. But I didn't even get to use the thing because I was sitting there basically deer hunting them. So I, you know, calling really didn't do much good because it was so overloaded with jakes over there. We counted. Between the four of us, and we were spread out a long ways away apart, we counted over 60 jakes Saturday morning. So I think that's why these big birds weren't gobbling. But
that's exactly what it is. I've seen that. Call them thugs. They gang up. There's a whole bunch of like street
that's
thugs.
Exactly,
there's a whole gang up, and they will run a big gobbler off and keep him out.
Yes, they will. And they will take his hens from him too. So that's why
they're no good.
That's why
they're no good, man.
Yeah, right. He will take his girlfriends. They will take your girlfriends from you. So, the animal world is real cool, Don. It is cool out there. People don't realize how aggressive these birds are. You know, when it's this time of the year. So, I mean, it's something to see, man. And those big birds weren't gobbling at all. They were just hitting the ground, and it was radio silence, man. Nobody saying nothing, you know. So
I understand. Yeah. Well, Rob, hear you having a good season. Let's hope the weather clears up, and we got better reports for the folks next week.
Yes, sir. Sure do. I hope we got a better report, because I tell you, Don, this wind has got to calm down sooner or later. And look, the fish are here. It's just we got to get. I know, you know, they caught some trout, but we got to get this weather right, and I think it's going to pop off and turn on. So
sounds good.
All right. Well, if you come down, hook the left at the bridge, and come and see us. We're waiting on you.
We'll see you. Robbie Campo, he's always there. Campo's Marine, except when he's turkey hunting. All right, we come back after this. We're going to talk about that deer proposal, that emergency action that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission took in response to a deer being killed in Catahoula Parish that showed up with CWD, chronic wasting disease. Also, I'll get to your text messages and more of the stuff you and I love to talk about every Saturday morning right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Okay, we have a text message board that comes right here to the studio every Saturday morning, and we love to hear from our listeners. You can text us your comments, your questions, your own personal reports to 504-260-1870. I got a couple of them coming in this morning. An Ohio listener on a misty and gray morning in Ohio. Well, it's not misty, but it's pretty gray down here in the Gulf Coast. They got the fishing lure stamps we talked about. They are very nice. Too nice for my light bill, that's for sure. All right, then we've got, those are collector's items, I would think. All right, then we have the backstrap stacker checking in from Clark County, Alabama. The wind is pretty strong up here, but we're going to give it a shot. The camp has had 5 times make it to the truck bed. Hopefully we can get number 6 this morning. You guys are on a roll. That is phenomenal for the beginning of the season to give truck rides to 5 turkeys. Hopefully you get number 6. All right, there he is, the man, Wingbone, over there in Wilmer, Alabama. No turkey today for him. The weather's not good. I agree with you on that one. And here's a Baton Rouge area listener says, I have a mossy oak turkey hunting chair, and I always bring it with me. Keeps my butt from sleeping. LOL. Yeah, those little turkey chairs are quite nice, and you can even put some accessories in them. And I'm telling you, they're like a mini beach chair. They're very, very comfortable. All right, I did want to clear up what took place at the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission meeting this week, because there was a lot of speculation that there was going to be a statewide ban on supplemental feeding. In other words, that would have been pretty much a disaster economically and to the sport itself and to the success of hunters. Well, here's what happened. There was a deer this year that was killed in Catahoula Parish that had the CWD symptoms, a chronic wasting disease. And in light of that, the department's commission took action to expand the control area that's already in existence. We've had CWD here in Louisiana for a while now. And what this area does when it comes under CWD control area, it prohibits baiting and supplemental feeding in that area only, nothing statewide. And you cannot transport outside that area any deer unless it's the legal qualified parts, which are pretty much boneless meat, or if you get a permit for taxidermy to get it mounted. Otherwise, it cannot leave that control area. That area has now been expanded. The new areas, and listen up if you hunt in any of these parishes, Caldwell, Richland, LaSalle, and Catahoula. Portions of those parishes have been added to all of Tensaw, parts of East Carroll, Madison, Franklin, Concordia. Yeah, if you'll follow me on the map, it's pretty much all North Louisiana. But hunters should check. There's a map on the website with the specific boundaries, and you may be under some strict regulations when the season starts, depending on if and when they decide to lift this or expand it. But for all those of you who have been in a panic and people were posting all over the internet that the Louisiana is going to ban feeding all over the state, no, that is not true. So that hopefully that puts that to rest. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about coastal cooking. If you like to cook your fish and seafood, boy, there's a series that's going to be appearing nationally on public broadcast, and I'll tell you all about it when we come back right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, not much of a great morning to talk about weather-wise. I got a small craft advisory up for most of the Gulf Coast. Going to be blowing up in the 20 to 25 knot range, 5 to 7 foot seas offshore, rough conditions even on inside protected waters. Brings up a question. What is the one element that you would say is the worst condition that you're faced with when you fish? Which one really gives you the most trouble? Would it be extreme winds? Would it be a lack of tide range? Would it be extreme hot temperatures or extreme cold temperatures or something else? Which one of those, if you had to pick the one that gives you the most trouble, which would it be? And I want you to text me. Again, would it be windy conditions, poor tide conditions, extreme hot, extreme cold, or something else? 504-260-1870. That's our text line. Shoot me a text, and we come back from this quick pause. We'll check out your messages. And also, I want to talk about the Louisiana Coastal Cooking 13-episode program that begins airing this morning. We'll be back to do that. But first, we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. There will be an excellent program kicking off. In fact, this will be broadcast nationwide on public broadcast channels. And I know a lot of you have heard a lot of problems for public broadcasting. Maybe some tough days down the road. Some of the elected officials are looking to defund it and eliminate it, saying it's no longer necessary and that it's guilty of biased programming. But I got to tell you, I'm not a big fan of public broadcast, but there are some things that they do really good. And when they do, I talk about the good things that they do, and I really kind of ignore the bad things they do. But one of the good things they did is they produced a 13-episode series called Louisiana Coastal Cooking. And I participated in it. I think I'm one of the way down the list on when it's going to air. In fact, I'll have to look it up, but I think it's around episode 9 or 10. But anyway, this week, in fact, at 9 o'clock this morning and tomorrow at 11 o'clock, the first episode will kick off called Sourcing Seafood, Chefs on Boats. And it's the recipes that they fix are shrimp and grits. That's from Chef Eric Nunley. And then there's also a Nikki-style ceviche with fried shrimp. That's prepared by Chef Dana Horn. And a swordfish chop with black garlic bordelaise. That's from Chef Mike Nelson of GW Finn's, located in New Orleans. Those are some of the professional chefs. Now, this series includes professional chefs. It includes restaurateurs and backyard camp cooks like myself. It carries the whole thing. But the good thing about it, the combination, is they show you how to go out and fish, how the fishing and shrimping or crabbing and oystering is done. And then they come back to the studio, and you get to see some of these mouth-watering recipes. Last week, there was a preview party that I attended, and we watched this whole series highlights, and I gotta tell you, it was one of the shows that probably made me the hungriest from watching television that's ever been. Now, 1 week from today, next week, it's going to be Culinary Arts in the Heart of the Bayou Region. And our good friend John Foles from the Culinary Institute at Nicholls State University will be there, and they'll have alligator garball stew cooked by John Foles' Culinary Institute, Chef Jana Billiott, redfish veracruzana with shrimp, and baked goose Holly Beach. And I think we've done that on, we've cooked some speckle belly goose with Chef John Foltz on Bayou Wild TV, so you might catch it there too. But anyway, look for that. It's the PBS series. It's coming to a public broadcast channel near you. It'll be airing at different times and dates across the nation, but locally in WYES out of New Orleans, 9 a.m. this morning, not long after we go off, you can catch it. All right, let's get to the text messages. Here's some of the worst conditions some of our listeners do not like. Here's one that says gnats. I forgot about that. That would come under the other category. That's from the worm. He says he hates them. Yeah, I'm not a gnat fan myself. And here's one that says dirty water is the worst for me. That's Ben from Mississippi. And I guess that would be associated with the wind. Here's another one. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, gnats. Gnats, K-N-A-T-S. All right, here we go. Fog is the worst. That's another consideration. Yeah, fog can be deadly. And then we have another one from New Orleans, says wind, hands down. What is your arch enemy when it comes to getting out and fishing? What's the worst? And you can have a combination of them, but I'm saying if you pick the worst one, would it be extreme cold, extreme heat, poor tide range, wind, or something else like dirty water or filthy gnats? 504-260-1870. That's our text line. Put it to good use. Also want to remind you, the benefit for Captain Mike Helmer is underway. Captain Mike Helmer, the owner of Phil Robichaux Charters, a lot of you are aware, had a massive heart attack followed by strokes, and he's on the rebuild, but they need some help. He and his family with some medical bills. There are 7 charters that they are going to be giving away in a raffle for a ticket for $25 is all it is. You can get 5 for 100. And now I'm told that the Major League Fishing pro, Jimmy Washam, he fishes off of Pickwick Lake in Tennessee. He donated a 2-night stay and a 2-person charter with him. That drawing for all those trips with local guides from Venice and Delacroix and Lafitte will be done on May 6th. So get your ticket. And the way to do that is go to Hooked on Healing. It's a Facebook page. Hooked on Healing. Or I'll give out the phone number for Angela Caruso. It's 504-458-7844. She's heading it up. She can get you tickets. And if you miss that number, text me, and I'll be glad to send it to you. All right, coming back after this, we're going to talk to Kirk Stansel, get a fishing report out from Hackberry Rod and Gun over there in the Calcasieu area. Stick around. He's next right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And one of the things we're asking you fishermen this morning, which one of the elements is the worst for you to deal with? If you had to pick one, I know there can be a combination. Would it be high winds? Would it be poor tide conditions? Would it be extreme hot temperatures, extreme cold, or something else? And I think I'm getting more something else's than others, and I'll get to some of those. But we've got Captain Kirk Stansel with us. And, Kirk, what would you say is the one element that you hate to deal with the worst when you're trying to fish?
Wind.
Yeah, I'm with you. Wind.
Wind.
Somebody said wind's bucking the tide. That's even worse.
Yeah. I mean, you're throwing some curveballs in there. So, it's – wind bucking tide is not good.
That's a surefire recipe for dirty water, and you guys, I'm sure, are dealing with that this morning in the past couple of days and maybe for another day or two. What's going on?
Yeah. Oh, it's been horrendous down here. I mean, we're having 20, 30-mile-an-hour winds with gusts over 40. This has been going on. Today's going to be the fourth day. And hopefully that front comes through the night. And, of course, it'll be crappy tomorrow, and then it'll start to come down.
Yeah. So what do you do when you got customers and they say, look, Cap, we made this trip, we put the dates aside, and it's going to be very difficult for us to get all these people back to reschedule. We just want to go. What do you do?
Saddle up.
Uh-huh.
That's plain and simple. Just, let's go.
I mean, batten down and get out, huh?
That's right. Make the trip as fun and safe as you can.
And what kind of areas do you look for?
Well, protected.
Find them.
That's all you can do. We got ways we can get around, because where we're located, the ship channel's right there. We can run when the wind's blowing and get to protected areas. It's just, you just drive slow or take it easy and get there. You don't have a lot of options, and you just make the best of it.
Well, it's been a little while since we talked with you. We had some fish kills before all this bad weather came, and fishing was, I guess, pretty much normal. What does it show over there? What's the prospects? Did y'all think you suffered from it? Is it going to feel any negative effects this spring and summer?
I know the redfish took a hit in the marshes real bad, but we've caught more trout this spring. The days we could get out, the weather was nice enough to get out over the open water, the reefs and stuff. We've been catching good numbers of trout, and it's been good. Best in 3 or 4 years.
That's great. What size are those big trout starting to show up again, or still not really seeing those big ones like that Calcasieu used to be known for?
No, we're not seeing those. The biggest one I've heard so far, one of our captains caught, was a 6-pounder, and most of these fish are keeper fish. They're 14 to 16, 18 inches. In that range is what we've been catching.
Yeah, it's good fish. What was been the pattern? What were y'all using? Artificials, live, combination?
I'm doing way better on artificial. As long as the water's clear enough. We've been tough to find, really clean water this year. So we've been having to throw some bait, but the live shrimp has only been available for about two and a half weeks now. I mean, with all that cold weather we had all winter long and low tides, the shrimp are just now starting to come in. And they got plenty of live bait now. And these high tides with these strong winds are going to help. It's going to just bring stuff in, you know, and into the estuary. And I think as soon as it settles down, it's going to be good. I mean, I'm liking what I've seen so far.
Maybe a feeding frenzy. Kirk, you know, bass fishermen have a theory about the dingier, the darker the water, the darker the color of the lure. Do you find any truth to that? Or when you fish in dirtier water?
Dirtier water, I'm going to throw dark colored bass. I like to throw what they call morning glory, which is black with some red and silver glitter in it. And that's what I like to throw in the dirty water.
Yeah.
If it's cleaner, if it's prettier water, you know, for some reason, watermelon red is real good. But when there's a lot of shrimp around, I'm going to throw the brighter colors like chartreuse or glows or whites.
Yeah. Well, common sense would tell you if it's dark water, you use a light bait because it's easier to see. Or if it's lighter water, you could put a dark bait because there's more contrast there. But who knows anything about common sense when it's fishing, huh?
That's right. No kidding. But the black baits and the dark colored baits, to me, work better to muddy water.
Yeah, I like those dark purples too. Kirk, if you would, give us the contact information, you know, where people can see the dock there. You got a live camera going on, and if people want information about book a trip as soon as this winds die down, tell them how to get you.
Okay, well, they go to our website and see that live cam. That's Hackberry Rod and a Gun. You spell out the word and.com. And then our number is 888-762-3391.
Very good. All right, let's hope the wind blows through, and we'll catch up with you next time. Good talking to you.
Okay, Don. Good talking to you. Have a great day.
Yes, sir. There he goes, Captain Kirk Stansel out there in Hackberry. All right, we come back after this. Let's head to Grand Isle. In fact, that's where our bad boy was caught this past couple of weeks. We'll get Darryl Carpenter to give us the rundown on what's happening there on a windy Grand Isle morning. Right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, be careful out there when you open that truck door. The wind might just grab it and blow it off the side of your truck. Darryl Carpenter's with us. Darryl, how's the winds blowing down there in Grand Isle?
Oh, Don, man, it's horrendous, dude. Well, we're getting gusts above 25, 30. It's been that way all week. What are we going to talk about? You want to know my worst adversary?
I do. I was going to ask you that. Yeah, what is it?
Is that wind?
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. I think it might vary from location to location. You know, I had Captain Robin text me. He says a west wind. Now, west wind in some areas, they like it, but most areas along the coast, west wind is a kiss of death because it means an approaching front and dirty water and the water's running out. But, you know, to some people, it's other things, you know, fog and gnats and I have yet to have anybody say it's too hot to fish. Now, some said it was too cold, but nobody says it's too hot.
Well, Don, look, as long as it's less than 10 and I can go where I want to go, I'll put up with the other adversities. But I don't mind pitting my wits against those fish any given day of the week, as long as I'm able to do that. It's when Mother Nature makes me fish where Mother Nature's going to let me fish. Then that throws everything else out of the window.
Well, how far back do we have to go to where fishing was considered good or even normal?
Oh, well, I mean, I think about that. And, I mean, it's every year we complain about the winds. And I don't even remember what normal was. Because I think if we were to go back and play some old tapes, I think every year this time of the year we're complaining about wind. It's our biggest thing is the lack of estuary. You know, we used to have canals and stuff like that we could run into. Now we've got to go 12, 15 miles to find a canal. So that's our biggest thing. I've been listening to your show all morning, and we've been talking. Everybody's been talking about clean water this and clean water that. The thing that I have seen remarkable since we're now mostly wide open bay and wide open gulf is how fast our water does clean up. You know, a couple of good incoming tides and even in the last two or three weeks, I've been amazed that it's not taking that much to find some clean water. Whether you got to run east or west, you know, we've been doing a lot of stuff over to the east toward Plaquemines Parish. And I just looked at with all this rain, and then the next 10 days, they're predicting an 8 to 10 foot rise on the Mississippi River. So, you know, a lot of the stuff we've been fishing to the east is going to probably be put put off the list here for a little bit until that river calms down. And we'll just have to run west to look for some clean water and look for our reefs and stuff over there and try to find some fish tacked on them.
We've been talking about that offshore sheephead run. Of course, that's going to be definitely out on days like today and tomorrow and maybe even in the next week. How long do you figure that might continue? Historically, how long does that last before they come back inside?
Well, Don, historically, it's running late. I mean, usually that peaks in March. And, you know, we've seen that everything's running a little bit late this year. You know, our shrimp are just starting to come in. Our little brown shrimp are just starting to show up in our trawls. It's hard to say how long it's going to last. Like you and I discussed earlier this week, it's going to last until they spit the last of those eggs out. And well, once they've, you know, once their spawning has taken place, then they're going to start working their way back into the marshes. Hard to predict when that's going to be. Like I said, it's running late already. It's lasted later into the year than it normally does.
Now, getting back to the sheephead, that's the one fish here in Louisiana. We have no limits, no size limits, no creel limits. Over all your years of fishing, have you seen a decline, an increase, or pretty much status quo on sheephead populations?
There was a little bit of a decline probably 4 or 5 years ago, but it seemed like they were on the rebound. Judging, we'll have to wait. It's not fair to judge on this spawn because, I mean, it's like literally shooting fish in a barrel. Once this spawn's over with, I believe, and they start disseminating back into the marsh and stuff, that'll tell us how thick they are. But right now, like I said, if you can get out there, if you don't mind cleaning them, until they finish that spawn, it's literally shooting fish in a barrel. You find a close-in rig, one, you know, 2 miles off the coast, and it's going to be stacked full of sheephead.
Got it. Well, Darrell, we got you on my website if people want to find out how to get in touch with you. But why don't you tell us about your website and your phone number if people are interested in coming down to Grand Isle and telling them what's available as far as dates and times and what they can catch.
Oh, yes, sir. Like I said, I'm on DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, or you can do RealScreamers.com, or just pick up the phone. Like I said, last week we certainly had more time than usual to talk fishing. 225-937-6288.
All right, my friend. Good talking to you as always. We'll catch up with you next week, hopefully on a less windy situation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Don. Y'all have a good day.
All righty. There he goes, Captain Darrell Carpenter. All right, when we come back, I'm going to get back to our text board. I'm getting a lot of response on what is your one worst enemy when you're going out fishing. Here's an interesting one that hadn't been brought up. It says, fishing from a kayak has many issues with the weather, the worst being lightning. How about that? Yeah, that's a bad one. Then extreme cold. The rest can be dealt with differing results. Remember, safety's primary. Fishing is the sport and not life support. I love that. Maybe I'll steal that from the Lafayette Yakker. Thanks for texting us. All right, we got more of them coming in from the Snake Doctor. And one that's kind of a surprise about the maybe possibly the worst enemy you face when you're trying to get out and fish. All right, tell us yours, 504-260-1870. We'll find out what it is for Mike Gallo, Brendan Bayard, and Ryan Lambert when we come back after the top of the hour break, where you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque.
Start your new career with H&K Group Incorporated. H&K Group wants to offer you the opportunity to be part of the industry leader. 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Visit hkgroup.com and apply today. H&K Group does not discriminate. Experience more with H&K.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio Network. And welcome into hour number two, broadcasting this morning from the St. Hubert's Cathedral Annex here in Alabama. Glad to be here in the neighboring state and glad to have you tuned in this morning. This high wind situation, which is going to keep most people from fishing and a lot of people from turkey hunting, kind of brought something to mind. What is the number one enemy for you when you're going out fishing? Would it be these high winds? Would it possibly be high extreme temperatures, extreme cold, poor tide range, fog? We've got lightning. We've got gnats or something else. What is it? Text me at 504-260-1870. Now, this one could be the most formidable opponent of trying to get out and do some fishing. It says, Don, how about a nagging wife? Well, that probably would be a very problematic. Fortunately, I've never had one of those. Not that I've never had a wife, but I never had one that nagged. But, you know, when young wives mention to me about, my husband, he always wants to go to the hunting camp, or he wants to go fishing with his buddies every week. You know what my response is? I tell them, listen, there's a lot of things a young man can do outside of work, and going hunting and fishing with his friends or his kids is certainly one of the better choices. So suck it up, buttercup. All right, here's one that says high winds, bucking the tide. Another one of those. All right, we got Chip Clement from Clement. Is it Clement or Clement? I think he says Clement. He's over in LaRonja up early this morning. He's over going to Superior Bait and Tackle, which is located in Baton Rouge. Going to stock him up with sinkers for the snapper season. So if you need some sinkers for the upcoming snapper season, they're going to have them fresh off the front of the oven right there at Superior Bait and Tackle. Stop by and see Mark and the gang over there. All right, here's another one. Gnats and mosquitoes. Also a note about the pond in Homer. It's got their Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Get Out and Fish program. They're stocking the channel cats there this Tuesday. So if you don't have anything planned, get out there. He says there's nothing better than listening to the excitement of the kids when they hook up on one of those big boys. That's from our friend Big E in Thibodeau, one of our regular listeners. And here's a Baton Rouge listener that says, oh, it's wind for sure. And here's one says, Don, thank you for the heads up on the Louisiana Coastal Cooking Show. Sounds right up my alley. Looks like I can get it on demand online also. Personally, my favorite PBS shows are the locally produced shows from WYES and LPB, Louisiana Public Broadcasting, that deal with Louisiana food, history, and culture. I've found most of those quite well done, interesting, and informative. Can't wait to check it out. That's from our friend David Hubble. And yeah, my Bayou Wild photographer and editor, Chris Lecoq, actually does a lot of LPB work, and he really gets in and tries to encourage them to do more of that. Those are the type of shows that will keep PBS on the air. Some of the other stuff, not so much. But, you know, I've often told them, I mean, how do you have a public broadcast channel in a state like Louisiana or Mississippi or Alabama that does not have hunting and fishing? It's part of the culture. And by the way, David, I got to tell you, my melatons are off the charts, man. They are climbing up the walls this year, looking good. All right, the Snake Doctor checking in. There's going to be a Love the Boot cleanup event at the Bucktown Landing next Saturday at 8:30. I will tell you more about that during our paddler's report. Red Stick and New Orleans Fly Fishing Clubs are going to be there to help clean up and give an introduction to fly fishing and fly casting. So come out to help clean up and do some fly fishing. If you've ever been interested in it, there you go. Some free instruction. Bucktown Landing. That's on the south shore of Lake Pontchartrain, if you're not familiar with it. Here's one, Don. I truly love the show and all the guests that come on. Give their insight on matters concerning the outdoors. Keep up the good work. This is Gumbo from New Orleans. Well, thank you. That's very kind of you, Gumbo. We appreciate you listening. And we got the Louisiana River Chicken checking in. He's headed to chase those Thunder Chickens in the Pearl River WMA near Slidell. I'm lucky to have the tag, so I'm going tree sailing, turkey hunting with today's wind. Good luck to everyone. Yeah, and I applied for one of those. They're pretty scarce. They don't give out many of those permits to hunt turkeys in Pearl River, and they do have a pretty good turkey population. But, boy, this is what happens. Limited days, short seasons, and you get a blowout like this, not good. All right, we'll get to some more of these texts a little bit later on, but right now let's take a quick break because we're on the back side of it. We got Captain Mike Gallo coming up. We'll find out what he's doing on a very windy Saturday morning in April. Yep, we turned the corner. The month of April is here, and you're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Well, this morning we're asking our audience and also our field reporters about what is their worst element, the one that they dread the most when they're trying to fish. And we've had people say wind bucking poor tides, extreme heat, extreme cold, fog, gnats, lightning. You know, those are things that CETO deals with on a regular basis. That's right. They've got to come get you. And if you have a policy for $249, that's actually a membership, you'll get unlimited fuel drops, towing from dock to dock, whatever it needs to get you back to the dock safely, even under some extreme conditions. CETO is there just like AAA waiting for you. To get peace of mind and get a AAA membership, all you need to do is pick up the phone, call Captain Chris, very nice guy. He even talks fishing. He's a fisherman himself. Call him at 504-341 4545. Or if you want to do it online, one simple click, cto.com. Captain Mike joins us now. And, Mike, which of those elements are the one that you dread the most? And I know it's not a nagging wife. Only thing Jacqueline might nag you about is don't leave her home.
Yeah, she does enjoy a good day of fishing. You know, Don, I've been listening this morning, and certainly all of those different elements that nature can provide while you're trying to fish can all be difficult to deal with at one time or another. Picking a worst, you know, they're all aggravating in one way or another. But I would have to agree with the majority of your listeners. Wind restricts where you can go, and then over a period of time, most of the water in your area gets dirty, so then it restricts where you can go and what's clean if you're able to get there. So wind is definitely one of the worst of Mother Nature's weapons that she can use against you to keep you from catching her fish.
Yeah, I kind of thought that was going to be the consensus. Wind definitely is problematic, as you point out, for many, many reasons. Dealing with it as best you can, I mean, I would suggest people don't even go, maybe pick a better day, but sometimes people just have to go. Maybe they got a brand new boat at the boat show and they just want to go out and try it, and catching fish isn't as important as being out in the boat. What kind of suggestions could you give them? Maybe some places in your area that could be tucked in, maybe find a windblown bank that some bait might be pushed up on, or any other suggestions for fishing in crazy weather like this?
Well, Don, the wind, you know, there's a couple of things that you can learn to use to your advantage. I've canceled trips from Wednesday to Wednesday so far. You know, this week I canceled Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, today, and I've already canceled Sunday, Monday, Tuesday of next week because the forecast is for the wind to continue. Now, one thing that takes place after we've had wind for several days, and this wind is blowing out of the southeast, it makes the water levels rise. And that's kind of helpful because high water doesn't get as dirty as low water. And then what you'll want to do is, it's a southeast wind, so the southeastern shoreline of your local lake, your favorite lake, is probably going to be where you find the cleanest water. And you can put your back against the bank and try to cast parallel to the bank or with the wind out from the bank. Really, your process doesn't change. You want to find clean as water as you can, find where there's bait fish in that cleaner water, and you want to fish there. Try to mimic the bait that you see in size and color, and hopefully there's some fish there. It could work to your advantage because water's dirty everywhere else. The majority of the fish may gang up in that one area where there's clean water. So I've had very good trips in some harsh conditions. It just depends on, do you want to deal with it, the age of your clientele, can you do it in a safe manner?
Yeah, makes sense. You know, we were talking earlier with Darrell, and he said one of the few advantages of coastal erosion is that the water seems to clean up faster because it gets out of here quicker. You haven't witnessed near the loss of wetlands that Grand Isle has in your area, but you've certainly seen it over the years. Do you find that water doesn't take as long to clean up as what it might have used to a decade or so ago?
So I think it takes longer to get clean in Lake Pontchartrain. Maybe that's just because I'm more anxious to get out there and fish, depending on the time of the year. The marsh, I would say yes, because as we spoke about earlier, the high water, you have wave action up in the grass, and it doesn't disturb the bottom. If that bottom was exposed, low water, and you still had the same wave action, then obviously waves beating down on bare mud shoreline certainly would get muddy much quicker. So I do believe that in the marsh, but it does seem that once Lake Pontchartrain gets dirty, it's dirty for a couple of days.
Very good. We've got a link to your excellent website from DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. AAofLA.com is yours, and probably maybe this afternoon might be a good time to give you a call and check on some future dates. We'll give them that phone number.
Yeah, we've been booking trips. The phones have been ringing. they seem to be ringing a little later this year than normal, but we're still here. We're still answering phones and connecting people with myself and my team of captains, get them out on the water, get them fishing. As you said, all the different places to reach me, plus my phone number, which is 985-781-7811.
You have any seminars planned in the near future, maybe at some of the CCA events or anywhere?
I will be at Bent Marine with several other local, very experienced captains on the 22nd of April.
Yeah, I've been to that one. That's a great setup and a great seminar, and there's always a great host of captains. Look forward to having folks see you out there. Mike, thanks so much for the report. As always, we appreciate it, and have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Thank you, Don. We'll talk to you then.
All right, there he goes. Born on the bayous, Captain Mike Gallo. All right, it's time for the paddler's report. Boy, wind has got to be bad news for paddlers, huh? I guess that would strike a blow for the use of electric motors on kayaks. We'll talk to Brendan Bayard, find out how to make sense of the wind, and what, in fact, is the worst enemy of his when he's out fishing. Back with that right after this pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And it's time for our stroking or paddling report, sponsored by No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie, where they're doing the Dirty Carp Tournament scheduled today. It's a fly fishing tournament targeting sewer salmon, also known as carp, there in Metairie. Also got a clearance tent sale today, so if you want to go out there, take advantage of some great products at rock-bottom prices, and find out all about the Dirty Carp Tournament. That's at 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie, No Wake Outfitters. And by the way, next Saturday, out there at that Bucktown Boat Launch cleanup, they're going to have some demo boats before, during, and after the event. So if you want to go out there, participate, do some cleanup, and then also check out a kayak, do a demo, and maybe learn to fly fish. Got a lot going to be going on out there. Joining us now is Brendan Bayard. And, Brendan, I got two questions for you. Number one, same question we've been asking all the reporters in the audience. What is your worst nemesis when you're going out to fish? That would be one, and I'll give you the other one when you finish answering that one.
You know, immediately I say wind like everybody else, but I think the advantage of a kayak is if the wind's blowing from the east, you can put in your kayak on the west side of the road, and from the south, you can put in your kayak on the north side of the road, and you can just drive and launch into any little ditch that helps you get cover from the wind. So wind is bad, but wind is not as big of an issue because we can literally launch right next to the protected areas that we want to fish and, you know, try a few different spots that way, you know, throughout the day. So it is terrible, especially when you've paddled really far from the launch and then the wind kicks up, like the day that I was out in Barataria Pass and the wind came out of nowhere and was stacked against the incoming tide, and I was just happy to be back to land after that. We were mic'd up for a tournament, and that's the only reason I was out there that day. But, you know, those kind of situations are very, very bad in a kayak. You know, you don't want to be experiencing that. But I would have to say lightning, because I've been out really far, and then all of a sudden lightning pops up, and you're in a kayak. You can't outrun it like a boat. So that's very, very eerie. You know,
yeah.
You lay all your rods down.
Yeah, they don't make lightning suits either, so that's always a problem. All right, other question. Have you ever fished for sewer salmon, a.k.a. carp?
I have not. I have fished a couple of them in golf courses when I was a kid, and I've definitely done my fair share of urban fishing in the canals as a kid, or bringing my kids around the neighborhood. So, that could be pretty fun, but yeah.
I fished them when I lived in Germany. They actually have a hybrid carp. It's called a Karpfen in German, and it's crossed with some other species, and they bite a lot like carp. You use, you know, corn niblets and that to bread to catch them. But one thing about them, they're pretty tasty. They're white flaky meat, and they weren't bad. Now about grass carp, and you know, I've eaten a silver carp. That's pretty delectable. But some of these sewer salmon, I'm not so crazy about breaking into one of those. But anyway, yeah. Paddlepalooza, not far away. Tell us about it. That's the biggie.
Yeah, we got in 3 weeks, we got Paddlepalooza coming down to Grand Isle. That's on April 26th. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be doing some pre-fishing between now and then, getting ready for that Slam tournament that we have every year. That's kind of our biggest event, if you will. And that's, you know, going to be basically a 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Or 4 p.m. Fishing day, where you try to put together your biggest slot redfish, trout, and flounder and weigh them in aggregate together to see who's the champion after that day. That's going to be a fun one. Got a lot of friends coming in from out of town for that, and we usually get a camp and have a good time.
So this is an actual weigh-in. This is not CPR.
Yeah. We usually do the big tournaments for sure as a weigh-in, and you know, a lot of people, if you have too much fish, you know, there's always other people that don't catch fish, and they're always grateful to bring some fish home, and you know, everybody likes a good fish dinner.
And what species and how many are you looking for?
We have a slam tournament, which is the main thing, which is the three fish. But then they do also individual awards for biggest trout, biggest flounder, biggest red, most spotted redfish. And we also have a seniors ladies category in a kids division.
Great. That's going to be April 26th at Grand Isle at Bridgeside Marina. Can people sign up online?
Yeah, they can. It's Bayou, bckfc.org. You go to the events tab, and you can just find the sign up right there. I think it's through PayPal or something like that, but it's pretty easy. And it comes with a T-shirt and a goodie bag and all that kind of stuff. And I think we cook two meals for you, one on Friday night at the captain's meeting and then one after the weigh-in during the award. So it's a good time, especially if you're into kayak fishing and you haven't met a community yet. Come out there, and everybody's really friendly.
Let's hope for some good weather and a good turnout. Brendan, thanks so much for the report. As always, we appreciate it, and watch out for that lightning.
I will, sir. Thank you so much.
All right. There he goes. Brendan Bayard, one of our field reporters for the Paddlers Report. All right, coming back after this, well, it's time for the bad boy. We got one. We have one every week, and he's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And if you've been with us for the last half hour, hour and a half, actually, we've been asking our audience, in honor of this windy day we've got, a windy weekend, what is your worst condition? If you had to pick one to keep you from going out and fishing. Here's a text that says, for me, it was bringing my new brother-in-law, who's never been offshore before, out there, and he gets seasick. Had to leave him on a rig for a few hours with a couple of sandwiches and some water while we rig hopped. Plucked him up on the way in. LOL. You know, I've never been seasick, but it does not look like fun. And I think the second worst thing to being seasick is being on the boat with someone who is. That ain't fun either. All right, let's see. We got some more info coming in here. We got Dixie George. His worst nightmare of fishing is when his grandson can't go with him. That's mighty nice of you. And Roland Cortez says, it's the wind for me. Yeah, Roland, you say that when you're fishing, but I bet I've heard you say, we need some wind when you're out there goose and duck hunting. That's when you want the wind, and sometimes you can't buy wind. All right, we're going to be back with the bad boy of the week right after we pause a quick 10 seconds for local stations to tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Our story began on March 22nd in Plaquemines Parish when Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fishery Agent Sergeant Norman DeRoche and Agent Jacob Stelly were patrolling Grand Isle when, doing a compliance check, they found one Jeremy Bro with 7 red snapper, which does not open in Louisiana offshore waters until May. And, well, May 1st, I think it is. I have to check that and see what it is. I believe it's May 1st. Anyway, when his day in court comes, facing a $350 closed season fine and another $200 for civil restitution payback for the value of the snapper, is 46-year-old Jeremy Bro of Carencrow, our iambic quatrameter bad boy of the outdoors. Not sure what that is? Google it. Check it out. All right, back to the text board. What makes you not want to go the worst when fishing conditions? Here's one says, finally, when it starts to get hot, it is time to quit. This one says, Don, this is Chris. The scariest thing when you go fishing is running into a crazy charter boat captain from Florida. If you know, you know. I don't. Let me know who it is. I'm not sure who you're talking about. Here's one from Chip. He says his worst fear of fishing is when the wife makes plans for them and doesn't tell him about it till the day before trips. I wonder, do you think that's calculated, Chip, or is that accidental? I'm not sure, but that would not be good. We got Ben from the CCA North Shore chapter wants to remind everybody about the fundraising banquet April 17th at the Castine Center in Pelican Park, featuring the youth casting contest with wildlife and fisheries. There will be prizes, auction, raffles, and a catered meal. Yeah, we all know about those chapter fundraisers. That's my home chapter, so I plan to be there. I think I'll be with the Martian Bayou guys. All right, now wait, we had another comment here. I didn't want to miss this, about the nagging wife theory. Somebody said a nagging wife was the worst one. This one says, Don, the nagging wife could be the best incentive. Remember, it is better to seek forgiveness than obtain permission. Bye, honey. Usually it's the nagging for a few hours. Okay, that's the Lafayette Yacker. He put his name to it. And here's one giving agreement. The worst thing is that early morning fog. Very, very dangerous. All the best. That's from the big man bassing and listening to us in Covington. Here's one. Since I prefer to fish for marsh bass, high water is my nemesis. And that's Doug. Yeah, that's not good. Scatters the fish out there. And we got David checking back in. His two melaton vines are doing well. One of them literally seemed to grow 3 feet this week. Anybody else having enormous success with the growth of their melaton vines? Man, mine are just exploded. And here's one says, not much keeps me from fishing except thunderstorms. And speaking of those ponds in Homer, the stocking of the rainbow trout is awesome and incredibly fun. All right, we got some more texts coming in. We'll get back to those, but right now we've got to take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll check in with Captain Ryan Lambert. He's a fearless kind of guy, you know. We'll see what strikes fear in his heart weather-wise and condition-wise when he's ready to go fishing. Back with Captain Ryan right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And the plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert, joins us. Ryan, do you use a plastic putting iron, a putting plastic?
I'll use a plastic spatula today, turn a hamburger. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, you're not actually hitting the little white ball. You're out there entertaining. No, I got
I'm just helping. We have a member guest at Grand Ridge today, so I'm going to help out. And I thought I was going to get out the wind, but I'm going to go out and sit out in the wind anyhow. At least I won't be getting beat up.
Yeah, you never did get into that addiction known as golf, did you?
I like it, but I don't have time, you know. I live on my own golf course and don't have time to play.
Ain't that something? Yeah. Well, you know, I'm kind of achy this morning. I just finished yesterday evening a three-match tennis match playing doubles with my granddaughter. She and I teamed up. And, whew,
wow.
Man, been a while. Been a while.
These don't let me play golf, tennis anymore.
Yeah, well, I got a bionic knee, so that helped me get through it.
Yeah,
you got.
Sure.
You haven't done yours yet, have you? Have you done your knees yet?
No, I'm not. He said I'm not ready. He said when you're ready, you'll come crawling up in here asking.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've been talking about what is the worst enemy for going out and fishing. What is your worst fear when you get up and you see a condition? Out of all of them, there's a lot of bad ones, but which one is the worst you like that you hate to deal with?
It's got to be the wind. You know, duck season is the fog. And the fishing is the wind, you know, just crossing the river in the fog is so detrimental. It's very difficult to, you know, everybody's scared and you got a lot riding on it. But I think the wind, especially this week with the 30-mile-an-hour winds, and today it's going to be 40. You know, it makes it tough. You know, you can't get away from the bank to go actually look and search for something. You know, you're stuck to lee shores and stuff like that. So probably that. You know, Most everything to deal with. The rivers are going to jump 10 feet in the next week and a half, 2 weeks. So it's going to crest on the 26th at 16.5, which is half a foot under flood stage. So, yeah, it's coming up. But that doesn't really bother us any. I mean, we'll get around it.
Yeah, it was too good to be true, that river being that low this long and this late, so it's due to jump, and it's coming.
Well, it's gonna be a jump, and then it's going to fall right. It's just we got this giant two big storms, and the one that's coming today and going right through the Ohio Valley, and that's where all the water's coming from. So, you know, it's just a seasonal thing, and there's not enough snow up there to make that big a deal. So I think by the middle of May, it'll be right back down, and we'll be whacking them again.
Yeah. You know, one of the difficulties this time of year, springtime, and locating trout is they're in the transition period. So you're likely to find them in, out. Explain what goes on during trout transition.
Well, they just coming out their winter haunts and all the baits coming out the deep holes, if you still have deep holes. And they're just working their way to the beach. So it's not very difficult. You just, you know, you start fishing your summertime pattern and hitting different things on the way out and working your way to the beach. And come May, they'll get back on the rigs and on the islands out there, you know, Breton and that kind of stuff in May. And, you know, April, they on the beaches and they're on the points on the outside with the river high like this. They'll just be right on the outside points. You know, a lot of people probably fishing Europe this time of year. And, you know, my boys on the east side, because of the wind, we can't fish the west side. Although the trout were good on the west side until this wind event. This has been a really big event for wind this week. It's been tough.
It's been long-lasting for sure. How much is this wind going to affect your hamburger cooking? Is it going to blow around the heat, or are you going to protect an area to cook?
Windage and elevation, if you start on the left side of the pit and just flip it, and by the time it comes back down, it'll be on the right side of the pit.
I knew you had a secret to a good hamburger. Any other tips for hamburger cooking? We get all kind of information from you.
You know what we do also when we cook in a lot of hamburgers, because as the people coming by, we take some onion soup, and we put it on the side, and we put the hamburgers in there as they're cooked, and it keeps them so nice and juicy and flavorful until you can put them on a hamburger.
That might be the best tip of the month. All right, now tell me about your blackberries. Are they late this year? My blackberry bushes this week just exploded, I guess, because of these 80-degree temperatures.
Yeah, they're going to be late. They'll probably be almost the 20th before everything comes to full berry picking. And the mulberries, trees are thick with mulberries, but, you know, it'll be a while for them. I think by the 20th we'll start picking berries and have a good little session there. Especially if we get a little rain, that'll help them out a lot and get them juicy and fat. So, yeah, it won't be long.
You know, I think the blackberry might be the best little wild fruit or product that we've got that grows.
You know, there's so many in different areas. You know, you got the blueberries, we got the blackberries. You know, they have raspberries in other places. Mayhaw is something that we don't have down here. You got them up there, but that is a phenomenal little berry. That's my favorite jelly of all is Mayhaw jelly. So, you know, every region's got something that they have. You know, something that we don't use that we have a plethora of is elderberries. Mm-hmm. You know, we really don't use them. They make good jelly, good syrup, and they're very abundant. So, you know, it's something that a lot of people don't use, and they're good for you.
Yeah, I've made pyracantha jelly, which is pretty good.
Really?
They're not much good for anything else, but, yeah, you can make a jelly out of them.
Really? I thought they was all bitter. We used to use them for pea shooters when we were kids, when they were green.
Oh, boy, the misspent youth, huh? Your childhood, misspent activity.
I could go back to it, I promise you that.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I think next week we're going to ask the audience what's their best use for those blackberries, and we'll get a variety of answers and see.
Oh, without a doubt. It's that time, too. Miss Coleman loves those blackberries, so she had me on that
too. All right, well, have fun at the golf tournament. Have fun at the golf tournament. Cook them hamburgers up. Make sure you put one in well done for me. That's how I like them.
Well done in the onion soup.
Yeah, in the soup. That'd be great.
All right, buddy.
Telephone number, too, because I know you can talk to people while you're flipping burgers. That's no problem.
Oh, yeah. You know, they get a hold of me at 504-559-5111, and we're booking up really good, so it's going to be a good year. So you get your trips in.
Don't delay. Thanks, Ryan. Talk to you next week.
You're welcome, buddy.
There he goes, Captain Ryan Lambert. You'll find him with an apron maybe and a spatula to flip those burgers over there at the golf course. All right, we come back after this. Going to wrap it up. We'll get to some of your text messages. What is your worst fear when you get up and you headed out fishing? What is the one thing, the really worst thing that you see that you don't want to see when you go fishing? Back with that, and we'll wrap it up right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, well, I'm sitting here watching the wind blow through the leaves in the trees. Go ahead, wind. Just go ahead and blow yourself out and get on out of here. Speaking of wind, a lot of people say that's the worst condition they want to encounter or don't want to encounter when they're fishing what is yours? We've been taking your text messages at 504-260-1870. One of the most interesting one was the one that came in from Chip, and it said, the wife making those plans and doesn't tell me about it till the day before my trips. And it kind of reminds me of a famous quote. Yeah, a failure to communicate. All right, we also have, let's see, morning fog, early morning fog, very dangerous. That's another one, on the dreaded fog situation. Here's a question. When will Mike Gallo be at Bent's? Mike said he would be there on the fishing seminar on Tuesday, April 22nd. That's at Bent's Marine and RV Center that's located on Airline Drive in Metairie. And they've got plenty of seating there, and I'm sure they've got lots of other captains. They usually have four or five of them that get out there and give some little fishing seminars. Another question, do we have a new Secretary of Wildlife and Fisheries? You may recall we were one of the first ones to report that Secretary Madison Shahan was leaving, and she, I don't know if she's still there. I don't think she's totally left, but we do have a new acting secretary. His name is Tyler Bosworth. He was in the administration, and he's moved up at least as an acting position. Don't know if it will become permanent. I'm not real familiar with Tyler. He would not have been my first choice, but hey, I'm just a radio guy. What do I know about picking people to run an agency? We also have this one says, can I take you up on your offer to replace my hunters for the Hungry Cap that I mentioned last week from Big E? Absolutely. I just happen to have a new fresh one for you, Big E. I'll be send me your address, and I'll get it out to you. Here's a question. We had someone said they brought their new brother-in-law out, and he got seasick offshore, and he dumped him on a rig with some sandwiches and water and went and picked him up while they went and fished. And the question, how the hell do you leave someone on a rig and then drive off? Well, that's what you do. You let them climb up on the rig and you take off and come back and get them. I'm thinking this is an unmanned rig because there's not something really legal about doing that. I imagine in time of emergencies they would allow it. But getting out on a privately owned rig is not something that is generally accepted. Here's one says, good morning. Speaking of lightning, I'm curious if anyone else has experienced atmospheric conditions that cause monofilament fishing line to arc as opposed to laying flat from the rod tip to the water surface. I have experienced this phenomenon only once in 50 years plus fishing. Fog and wind are the worst. Yes, I have seen that on a couple of occasions when a storm is approaching and that wind starts sucking and the temperature starts dropping and clouds start swirling. I have seen our fishing lines raise up out of the water towards the sky. It's just some phenomenon, and generally that indicates that there's going to be some lightning strike, so it's time to get out of Dodge when you see that. Here's one says, you need to look into the video of the crazy Florida charter captain. Yeah, it triggered my memory. Someone told me about that. There was some Florida charter captain. I don't know if he was trying to get publicity, but he was acting really stupid and doing some stupid stuff and making some stupid comments on Facebook. And I don't generally look at that stuff, so maybe I'll have to look into it. Someone sent me the link, but that was the connection to the crazy Florida charter captain. We've got Deb in Florida listening. Two questions. Free freshwater fishing in Florida this weekend. That message brought to you by the letter F. Where did I hear that before? Yeah, okay, free fishing in Florida for freshwater. That's a great opportunity. And also says that how is the flooding up north going to affect things in the area when all that water starts coming your way? Unless the spillway gets open, generally a high river doesn't really give us any serious problems. Like Ryan was saying, they deal with it down near the mouth, but if it opens up through the spillway, it comes through Pontchartrain, purges it out, puts fresh water into a lot of traditionally brackish areas, that can be problematic. Here's one says, I know it's been said before, but it's that lightning. And then we got another vote for the gnats. They're the worst. And here's one says, my point to the rig. Yeah, that's what I mean. How do you leave somebody there? All right, I got the address I needed. I think I got just about everything I need. Well, it's been a great, interesting show. I'm going to give you a little assignment to think about next week. We're going to start off asking you blackberries. I think it's the finest wild product that we have in the Gulf South. It's a very versatile berry. You can use it in a lot of different ways. And what is the best way that you prepare your fresh picked wild blackberries, or dewberries for that matter. I know they're kind of close. All right, the music is playing. That's my friend Reed Alleman singing us in and out of the outdoor show. Glad to have him be part of the program. Haven't seen him in a while since he moved out west, but comes back to visit every now and then. I got to get with him and do a little bit of fishing. All right, I am off to other things. I will be turkey hunting midweek, and next week coming back to fish in Navarre Fishing Pier for some pompano for Bayou Wild TV. We'll tell you how that goes, too. All right, all that still to come. Hope you'll join us next week. Same time, same place, same station. Thanks to Cullen, our engineer. See you next week on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network.